If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Sons of Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I am a son of a gun. I'm Alex Gunn.
I'm Justin Gunn.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you with a podcast for the Peacemaker Season 2 finale,
Full Nelson.
This is coming a little late because Justin and I were at New York Comic Con this weekend. Pete honestly couldn't be bothered. Is that correct, Pete? I believe that's what you...
Pete was in full party mode.
You had other plans. But the good news is we're taping this on Indigenous Peoples Day, a.k.a. Red St. Wild's favorite holiday. Oh, so it's very appropriate.
We waited for that.
Anyway, if you haven't watched the episode, then you probably have. Go watch it on HBO Max because we're going to spoil it. But this is the final episode. It is, I think it was sold as an extended length episode, but it is, I would say, a normal length episode versus the very short episodes we were getting previously. As we get a lot of things wrapped up here.
Interesting that you say that, Alex. I disagree with you.
Oh, what do you think about the length?
Dude, I love this. You guys are fighting already. This is beautiful. Yeah.
When you said the phrase, you said the words, a lot of things wrapped up here. I think it's a lot of things.
Here's the thing. I'm trying to be generous right at the top of the episode, but just to talk about what did happen, Argus is exploring the quantum unfolding chamber throughout the episode with Rick Flagg and Luther's goons. It turns out they are looking for a new planet that they call Salvation, and the goal is to make a prison planet that they're going to throw all, ostensibly, the villainous metahumans on, but by the end of the episode, Peacemaker is the first resident there on Salvation, except the planet is not alone. We'll talk about the DC Comics tie-ins that are going on there, I'm sure, throughout the episode. Meanwhile, though, Peacemaker, jumping back a bunch, doesn't want to be a hero anymore, doesn't want to do anything. He thinks he's cursed. He thinks he's the Angel of Death. And his friends all go and talk him off the ledge. And so they do what all superheroes do. They open up a company together called Checkmate. We get a great montage of setting up an office. And that's pretty much the end of that. And then the other thing that happens, the big theme of the episode, is we finally get the revelation of what happened on the party boat with Harcourt and Peacemaker. Turns out, you're not going to believe this, they kissed. And it was really tough. It was really tough for Harcourt. But then by the end of the episode, they're boyfriend and girlfriend. And not only that, we get two full concert numbers, first from Nelson, the band, and then later on from Foxy the Shazam. Music. Yep. So there you go. So yeah, those are kind of the big highlights here. And I would say, without even getting into our opinions, reaction online to this finale has been mixed. And I, again, being very generous there. But let's talk about our feelings. Pete, you're our positive Pete. Peacemaker Pete. You like to make peace with the Peacemaker, the Pete Maker, if you will. Yes. So what was your take on this episode and the overall season? And then just start rambling off some plot points. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. I mean, overall, I was very happy with the season. I'm a I love me some rom-com, and man, did we get some. So that was very exciting. Mm. This was an emotional episode. I cried a bunch. It was really some beautiful moments here.
When did you cry?
When she said it. He was like, did it mean anything to you? And she's like, it meant everything. Come on, man.
When you say that you're a sucker for a rom-com, I forget how hard you actually mean that. that was the very basic gesture toward rom-com, and it got you.
It got me. Good. Yeah. So, yeah, and I just feel like, and then also the ads thing, like you made me believe in miracles was very touching. I saw an eagle hug a human. I mean, like, come on.
Some people wear their heart on their sleeve. Pete kicks his around like a hacky sack.
That's right.
He's like a peeled grape. He's ready. He's ready for a gesture toward emotion.
So, yeah, I was super excited about that, super sad about the ending. Also, like, everything in the opening dance sequence came true except for Eagly killing everybody. And it's a weird thing to root for. But it was promised in the dance sequence, and so that was a little head-scratching that was kind of a swerve.
Pete, would you like to apologize to our audience for misleading them over the course of this podcast?
Yes, you promised.
I mean, I have a lot to apologize for, but yes, I'm sorry. I thought that was going to be a thing, and it wasn't, and so I feel awful about it. You know,
we're going to punish you by sending you to a pretty idealized
prison.
Blame
the show. Don't blame me. I'm just the person watching, being like, "Well, that's got to happen, right? They promise." So
yeah, you know, well, everything Daddy else isn't happened. Available, so we got to blame somebody. I blame.
And again,
lawyer,
quote
Romero.
Unquote, Daddy.
Quote unquote. Yes, thank you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that it, Pete?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Justin, over to you. Take.
I mean, I think, you know, we talk about Dad as James Gunn, but I think he's really James Fun, because he only cares about fun and he doesn't care about anything else. I feel like watching this episode, I was just shocked at what happened, the way it looked, the stuff that went on, the absolute dropping of everything that came before. Besides the Harcourt and Peacemaker relationship, it was just caught me so far off guard. It felt like James Gunn took the budget for this episode and was like, "I'm actually just going to have a party for everybody, and we'll just film it, and that'll be the episode."
How much do you really think it cost to hire Nelson? To be honest, like not that.
Are
much.
You saying? Are you saying Nelson was there and they showed up with cameras? And I was like, "All right."
Yeah, probably. They probably did it for beer money, honestly.
The music
wow,
was fun.
Nelson Slim. I think it is fun.
It's fun to celebrate music and to have that kind of like...
My main takeaway is I think James Gunn and his friends probably had a great time making this episode.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but I don't like that for my TV, the story. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing.
Sometimes
I
have
feel...
a fun app like that. Why not?
Sure. Especially maybe in the middle or something. Ooh, but this was like it felt like they were trying to do the Game of Thrones thing where all the action happens in the second to last episode, mm-hmm. and the last episode sets up a bunch of stuff. But this one set up Nelson.
to externally talk about it, maybe the last episode of Peacemaker, like that's what James Gunn has said, is they don't necessarily have plans for a season three at this point. They'll follow the story elsewhere, but for the moment, that is it for the show Peacemaker. He's not going to say never, he will never come back to it again.
They got to save Peacemaker. I mean, they bailed him out of prison.
That'll happen elsewhere. This show is done for this point.
Right. Well, and like the thing is, it just feels
season.
Like... It's
no,
making me think that...
Listen to what I just said. What
I
just
don't
said.
I don't believe... All I heard was, so you're saying there's a chance.
The Peacemaker plotline, you'll see the characters again in future DCU properties. You will see
Which
Peacemaker
means there's a chance.
In future DCU properties. For the moment, there is not going to be a Peacemaker Season 3, and the plotline of Peacemaker will neither be picked up in Peacemaker Season 3, nor will it be picked up in Man of Tomorrow, the upcoming Superbad movie.
I disagree with that. I think
I do think they were seeding some elements.
People want more Peacemaker. I think that could make them make more Peacemaker.
James Gunn has very specifically said this. I don't want to get caught in the weeds.
I disagree.
You guys are fully in the weeds. You've never left the weeds.
We're
just
the weeds
shouting
on Salvation,
each other.
And there's something weird roaring in the distance.
That's Pete wants hope. Alex has information. Never the twain shall meet. That's the point of the podcast. But let me say, though, about this. Like, it did feel like a final episode and almost like a... throw your hands up and be like, all right, we're done. We were done here 2 episodes ago. And this is just sort of like coasting out to the end. And that was upsetting because
I feel betrayed.
We did not get answers. They
How
worked
dare you?
So they worked so hard to set up the brother and the dad storyline in this season across the series. And they didn't even appear. I couldn't believe they didn't pay off something with the brother.
The big thing that I would say, like beyond what I was semi-glibly saying earlier about this season of television, is it started really strong. And the reason it started really strong is it melded superhero plot, sci-fi tropes with the emotion of what's going on with Peacemaker. This final episode ditched the plot elements in favor of the emotion, and that the emotion is strong, but without those two trains running concurrently, the episode just does not work. And the way that they, we've talked about this all along, like, I think you were intimating this a little bit, Justin. It's pretty clear over the course of the season what James Gunn has gone to, which isn't a terrible impulse, is what's the most fun? Where can we have fun? What's a fun thing to do? Where can we lean into that? Where can we have some jokes? Where can I have fun with my friends? Where could I lay in some emotions, some things that I feel very strongly here? And that's good, but you have to have that basis of a consistent plot arc over the course of it. And like you're saying, that was ditched. And that was particularly ditched in this last episode for setting up things going forward in the DCU, leaning into emotion without the grounding of the overall plot that we've been following for the previous seven episodes. And frankly, for me, that really undercut a lot of the emotional scenes and felt like there were weird swerves in here. Like the scene with Leota, with Adebayo and her girlfriend, and the scene where Daniel Brooks and they're having this whole intervention in the hotel room. Like, I got the intention there and the emotional tension, but it was such a weird swing into deadly serious drama and emotion that it didn't work for me because we had lost that other ongoing plot. And one other thing that I want to address, just to be like 100% clear, there's been this ongoing push online for anybody who pushes back on this episode to be like, you're just upset there weren't cameos. And to be 100% clear, I am so glad there was none of that. Like, if they had opened up a door and Blue Beetle and Booster Gold were standing behind that, obviously I'd get, like, that dopamine fanboy thrill. Like, but I'm so glad that it avoided that entirely. And then it was a bummer to me that they were, like, leaving Peacemaker on Salvation. Do you know what Salvation is? No. What does Checkmate do? Who cares? All of these things that they were like, ooh, Checkmate. If I didn't know the comics, I don't know what's going on in the show, and I don't know what this company is or what the intention is or anything like that. So it felt like it was throwing a lot of things in the air and letting other properties catch them when you need to create a concrete unit, which is called Peacemaker Season 2, in order for that to feel satisfying. Go ahead, Pete.
I just wanted to say, like, you know, you bring up some interesting ideas. I think the ads with her acts was really sweet, you know, opens with her playing with the dogs and then kind of being like, okay, enough of that, let's talk. And I like this breakup as far as the, hey, we have different goals, you know, we said we would do this thing together, things change, you know, we can't move forward, but, you know, there's still love there. I thought it was very nice. And you don't see that a lot in TV shows, kind of a nice ending to a relationship that could have been something. So I don't know. I liked the fact that, like, yes, you know, like Peacemaker is kind of ripped from this world. But the fact that we finally got to see what happened on the boat, we finally kind of got some closure with ads and her ex so she can move forward, and them starting this office, that montage of them going through the worlds was insane. And this kind of like rift that happens between the workers and the people who are actually doing the work, you know, is something that, you know, we see time and time again, but I thought it worked there. So I don't know, like, I agree with what you're saying, you know, some of the things weren't tied up, but I was really happy with the relationship stuff.
Well, it's less about the tying up than just to clarify what I'm saying. Like, I think a lot of the individual pieces worked on their individual basis, but they didn't wrap up into a whole either for the episode or for what was initially set up in the first couple of very strong episodes of the season. Sorry, Justin,
yeah,
cut you off.
I feel like it was, like, I think what you're both saying maybe is, like, on paper, there's a lot of good ideas here. Like, it's just the execution, I think, was really odd to me. Like, it felt very broad. Like, especially the hardcore Peacemaker romance stuff. They worked so hard to set up the complicated nature of Harcourt's feelings with Ricky Flagg and that being some backstory there. And, like, of course. And then we don't ever deal with that. She's just like, of course I love you. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, and it undercut a lot of the actually more nuanced work that happened throughout the season. And that's why I feel like not coming back to the brother and the dad and like all of that stuff and the Earth X stuff, which felt like what the theme of the season was, like escaping in a fake thing, whether it's a metaphor for drugs or whatever vice you want to talk about. And that was just sort of like, ah, we killed one of them and escaped. And it didn't sort of solve that. Instead, we got all this Argus portal stuff, which has no emotional basis. It's been just sort of slow boiling throughout the season and is about the future of the DC universe rather than the real work that was done over the course of the season.
But there is what it did do, which was I thought was kind of interesting, is we're watching, we're like, what's going to pay off? What's going to pay off and what's going to be the thing? And it turned out like we were like, oh, shit, at the beginning of the season, what's Rick Flag Sr. going to do once he finds out about Peacemaker? Oh, it turns out what he's going to do is throw him into a prison world so he can find out how true to Earth this prison world actually is, and can people survive there and that kind of thing. So maybe not the best payoff, but it was one of the chaotic things that was kind of floating around at the end. So, you know.
And I don't mind, like, for the end, the actual end, like, the idea that everything's going well for Peacemaker, I'm like, well, this can't be the actual end. Right. He has to be screwed at some point. And so, I don't mind that. And honestly, talking positives, like, John Cena is so good in this show.
Yeah.
Even some of this, like, really broad writing that was given to him, like, he makes it work. He just can sell so, he's just, like, right there in the emotion. The scenes of him, like, sitting on this porch in, outside of his motel room, I was like, I love all that. Like, yeah. His role is really good. It's just all the pieces around him just didn't all come together.
Yeah, just to shut that out for a second, there's a thing where, like, he's in his cell and he just does this move back and his, like, feet dangle over. And it's an interesting shot because it usually when you see a man who's so big, it's shots of him being big. But it made a huge man look small, and it was such an interesting, cool thing that I agree with you. I think there is it's impressive what he is being able to pull off, the range of his character in this.
Well, and I will plus up what Pete was saying about the rom-com element, that he also does that very well. Like, his puppy dog look at Harcourt the entire time is great. You get that yearning there. He's being respectful of her and her boundaries at the same time, which is very nice. So all of that I thought was really good. It's a very interesting moment, I thought, when he goes through the whole intervention thing and then he snaps back into, but did the boat mean anything? Which feels like he learned nothing from any part of the season whatsoever, because he's just been harping on that and pushing on that. But overall, I did like that stuff. I do want to mention something that I think... Yes,
I just want to just real quickly, and I don't mean to derail your point here, but I just want to say, if you have a slow motion dance sequence with somebody, that's a thing you're not going to let go of and you're going to harp on, because that's a huge moment in somebody's life.
I love when I slip into slow motion. It feels a little weird and tingly, but I like it.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
That means drunk, right? It means when you've had so much to drink, everything gets fucked up. Oh, no? Okay.
No.
Here's something that I'm going to throw out there that I think is very illuminating about this season and the show as a whole, which is, I know Pete doesn't like me talking about the other podcast here, but on the official Peacemaker podcast, James Gunn was talking about the intervention scene in the hotel, and he started crying during the podcast, like straight up, like couldn't finish his sentence, sobbing. And the short version, you should go watch it, because I thought it was very surprising to see somebody be this emotional and raw on a podcast like this. Like, you do not see that in absolutely anything. But the short version is Peacemaker is his dad. Like, that's how he is writing it. He is writing it about his dad, and all of the things that Adebayo is saying to Peacemaker are things that he wishes he could still say to his dad, who passed away in 2019. And the little kicker, which he doesn't mention on the podcast, is that his mom's name, I don't know if she's still around, but his mom's name is Lyra. So that scene of Lyra Adebayo talking to Peacemaker is his mom saying things to his dad. And I think that sort of illuminates, like, I don't say this in a dismissive way, but like, I think there's a lack of separation there, where he has put so much of his heart into this show, and particularly Peacemaker. Harcourt is his wife, you know, is playing it.
Yeah.
These are his friends all on set. And like, when I was jokingly earlier being like, it seems like he had a nice time with his friends, I think there is a lack of separation there between, like, I'm having fun with my friends and doing this fun show, which is very earnest and joyful and lovely, versus being able to take the step back and figure out, okay, here, how can I have fun with my friends, but also how can I craft this as a season of television?
You know, that makes a lot of sense hearing that, because this is a peak of emotionality and closeness for James Gunn.
Yeah.
This episode is the closest to him, but I think he pulled it sort of too close to him, and it's a little lost from the storytelling. Like, that scene in the hotel room, I was like, where? It felt so dialed up that out of nowhere, and it was just emotionally off to what had come before, and it makes sense that it was hugely important to him, but the characters are sort of like, just like screaming emotion at each other out of nowhere, and it just felt off.
Yeah, and Pete, I can see you getting upset, but again, I want to emphasize, like, that scene and the breakup scene, I thought, on their own, are two good, very well-felt dramatic scenes. But like Justin is saying, in the middle of the episode in the show, I don't think they fit. They felt like they came from another show.
Okay, that's an interesting point. How about this? How about the fun that they were having with Manta Ray facts? I mean, that was nice. We can all agree that was a fun moment. Well,
and yes, and I do think there were some good jokes in here.
Yes,
across the board, which I thought was cool. It was just in the midst of so much where I was like, because there were just some bad scenes, like the Economo scene where he was distracting them.
Oh,
in the
come
control
on,
room.
No, that was hilarious, bro. No, I was that like, was this so is, funny.
This is like a bad improv scene.
That's the fun of it. Is it here's so the thing, bad? It's good.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's the thing that was driving me crazy about it. Is the blocking of that scene.
Oh,
because
my
he's supposed, no, 100% seriously, because he's supposed to be providing a distraction while Harcourt and Bordeaux are finding out where Peacemaker is based on the chip in his neck, right? Like, that's the setup there. Economos is standing in direct view of where Harcourt and Bordeaux is, versus like across the room, so everybody's looking over there. So he's standing in the place so everybody can see.
He's
what
blocking
Harcourt,
so they can't see them.
Not really. Economos. Everybody can see what Harcourt and Bordeaux are doing. It was crazy to me. I was like, go over there. What is happening in this scene?
I thought it was so funny because he's like turning around to them going, this is going horribly. I am not good at this. And they're like, you're right. You suck at this.
He's not good at this. Also, why was it necessary? Like, they could just go on the computer and do this thing and nobody's going to notice or clearly care.
It felt weird. I thought it was
funny because it was a good use of Economos panicking and not being able to.
He's a funny guy. He's a funny guy.
Sure. Yes. I just wanted it to be funnier or more awkward or like.
I
just felt
it under both those things.
I think it was. This episode just felt underbaked or rushed. Like, to talk about the direction of it, it just like didn't look like the other episodes. It didn't look good. Like, some of the rom com stuff felt like 90s, like, rom-com TV in a way that I was like, this can't be purposeful. Everything was just a little more loose and like Alex saying about the blocking.
The concert shots looked really good. You know what I mean? The concert shots.
Film a concert movie. Go do that instead. Yeah. The stuff of the QUC looked bad. Like, everything when they opened the doors looked bad. It was clearly...
Well, it just looked like a set. Well, it looked so much like... It looked like a Star Trek set from like the 60s. I was like, guys, it spends so much you have so much money.
They had to spend so much money on the different worlds. Like, the skull spider world looked insane, and that was really well done.
No, it looked like a screensaver, Pete.
it did look like a screensaver.
Well, I was scared of being in that world, so I thought they did a good job.
I also would not like to be in that world. I would want to be the zombie world. I definitely
would
want to be
the adorable Candyland world where things eat your face.
We've seen that 1 million times. Like, that is a joke that has been done so many times. It's been done to death. They kept hyping this up as like, this is the craziest action sequence you ever see. And I was like, I have seen 1 million, even in James Gunn movies, though I'm not thinking about anything in particular, but like tiny little things who are like, oh, that's adorable. Oh no, it's trying to eat me. Fine. The other thing that annoyed me about that a little bit, and this is definitely getting into fan commentary, but the fact that they're, we've been talking about in Superman, they're like, oh, that's a fifth dimensional imp, which is clearly like Solaris in the background, but okay, that's interesting you mentioned imps, and then they're talking about imps at the beginning of this. We know what imps are from the DC universe. Now we've seen these imps. They're not that. They're not Mr. Mizoplizic. They're not Batmite or anything like that. They're tiny little creatures with teeth like in any other thing. And to me, I was like, Just do something else. Call them something else. That's fine. Like, you can do that joke, I guess. But, like, I don't know. That was a bummer.
All right. One thing that maybe you guys didn't like that I enjoyed was they were, like, going to talk to Peacemaker. And then Vigilante tases him. Is like, got him. Oh, my God. I thought that was fun.
Was good. Vigilante is one of my, like, he's the fun character here and doesn't get bogged down often in some, like, plot stuff. Like, I loved his the line early in the show, like, getting really far in Princess Peach Showtime, and it's not easy because she's a girl. That's, first off, true. I've played that game. It's not easy. And it's, I just, the specificity of that line was spot on, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird thing that I'll say externally was the day after the Peacemaker finale, I saw Freddie Stroma was a surprise at the Jim Lee and Friends panel at New York Comic Con. I don't know what he's like elsewhere. Very serious. Like, every single thing he said was like, yeah, I'm a serious, normal actor guy. And I understand, like, people are playing a part, but it was just this weird disconnect of being like, oh, man, Freddie Stroma's here. What jokey thing is he going to do? And the answer was no jokey things.
Very serious.
I also like the cut of,
classically,
like,
trained
cut to Vigilante, where he's just in this money room, just playing games, acting like he's not surrounded by money because it doesn't exist to him, because he's like, it's dirty money.
Blood money.
Yeah, and then ads being like, let's turn this into something good was a fun kind of, like, the way she tricked him, and I thought that was great.
Can we turn from stuff that we did like to stuff we didn't like? Would that be okay? Because
I thought that's what you've been doing the whole time.
I know. It's a joke, Pete. I'm making a joke. I want to talk about Rick Flag. Rick Flag, and I've been saying this all along, what they're doing with this character is insane. And I don't mean good insane. I mean, like, the connection and arc of this character over the course of several series and movies makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever, and that was driven home here. That last moment that Pete called out does make sense to me. Like, the line of throwing him in there and be like, this is for Ricky, you son of a bitch, fine. Like, that tracked to me. But all is the montage of him, like, laughing and joking with everybody, with the Lex Luthor buddies. What was happening there? What was going on there that has no connection to the character that not only do we see in Creature Commandos, but also the character that we saw over the course of the season in Peacemaker?
Like the other emotional scene, it was so dialed up. He was, like, ghoulish in his laughing. I was like, is he on drugs? And I guess he was a little, but like, I don't know.
I do think it brings up to something that is an interesting thing of, like, talking about success, especially in, like, a corporate situation where there are people getting rich off of it, and then there are people who are actually doing all the work who don't see any of the benefit at all. And I like this kind of, like, showing the rift happen of, like, people celebrating who didn't do anything, who are just in the office. So, as someone who's been kind of doing stuff like that, I enjoyed the fact that they kind of called it out a little bit. So.
And when you say been doing stuff like that, you're on the corporate side. You're laughing at all the people below it, right?
No, I'm not talking
pizza
about
Rick Flag. No, senior.
That's not what I was saying.
Doing that corporate coke.
Yeah, I hear you. Like, again, I get what the intention was there with the scene. I just don't think it worked or connected with what we are supposed to know about Rick Flag. And there wasn't, you can get a character to that place, and that's fine, where they're delved into villainy, but I don't think they really put in enough work there. Maybe, I'm sorry, maybe it's down to Frank Grillo's performance, which is very broad and stagey throughout this season, and didn't really work for me, but I don't know. It just didn't work. And I think similarly, I'd extend that to a lot of the turns for people where they gave moments, specifically Langston Fleury and Sasha Bordeaux, where Langston Fleury was like, my best friend, this guy, died. Now I'm going to be on the side of the good guys. Same thing with Sasha Bordeaux. Was like, well, I found out it was a prison planet, which anybody probably could have figured out, and actually seems, frankly, less bad than literally any other possibility. Yeah, exactly. And that's it. That's my breaking point.
Well, it felt like also they were like, Luther's the smartest person on the planet. And that's when she was like, what the fuck? I hate him.
Yeah.
And that was her bailout moment. Same. And I was like, that's even weird. That's such a weird time to make a choice like that. But yeah, it felt like very writerly and that they needed that to happen. So they just made it happen a little bit unmotivated. I mean, the Sasha Bordeaux of it all and Checkmate, like, for a comic fan, like, I love the Sasha Bordeaux character.
Yep.
In the comics. Here, she's not super used. I thought she was better in this episode because she had more to do.
Great.
Setting up Checkmate, which is a sort of worse than Argus or more intensely secretive and transactional than Argus in the comics, it's not like a fun gang hang like they're setting up here. So it's just interesting to me that they emphasize that.
Well,
so
just hard. My issue is, why is it called Checkmate and what does this company do? Because them,
yeah.
This is another thing we talked about a lot on the podcast, is James Gunn kind of yada yadaing past the work, like the interesting, like the information that sets up the thing. We talked about this with the portal thing with the QEC, where they're like, okay, we got to figure out how to use this. We have figured out how to use it. And that was like the entire sum of the thing. And like I talked about back with that episode, I don't think it's necessarily fun to see Adebayo figuring out the buttons and getting it wrong a couple of times, though potentially it could be. But it's the same thing here where they're like, we have money and now we have set up a company. And what is that company? It is a desk and chairs where they hang out and talk about animal facts, I think. And I don't know why it's called Checkmate. Like in the comics, it's set up as this whole chessboard thing. You got kings, you got queens running it. There's different divisions and factions. Like you're talking about, it's an international spy organization. Here it's called Checkmate, and it's a company that is going to do good. How are they going to do good? How are they going to combat the U.S. government? Are they a charity? What is happening here with this group of ex-spies and mass murderers? Are the people they have on staff right now? So, like, I don't need them to provide a business plan on screen. I don't need them to have like a PowerPoint presentation or anything, but I need, I think it stands in direct contrast with like the season finale of the first season where Adebayo got fed up with what Amanda Waller was doing and came out and gave a speech and was like, hey, this is what my mom's been doing. This is the illegal shit that's been going on with Argus. We got to shut it down and we got to move to the next thing. And this is what's going on with the butterflies, et cetera, et cetera. It was something that pushed the plot forward. It pushed Adebayo forward. It pushed her in a new direction. It was also clear what was going on. Here they're like, company for good. Are they heroes for hire? Are they, like I said, a charity organization? We don't know. It's just an office space at this point.
It could be like an A-team situation.
It could be literally anything, but like, give us something. Give us some like bit of information so we understand what is so triumphant about this, other than they set up an office and then they get in for the first meeting. They're like, so what do we do? I don't know.
But they're breaking away from something they don't believe in to start something together that they do believe.
Yes. Yeah, and that's cool.
It's half a thought.
But you rarely see a spy organization throw up a shingle on a building and say, like, hey, we're here. We're the CIA. Come hang out. And that's why I'm like, I don't know. I mean, ostensibly, without the comics knowledge, it feels like Checkmate would be something where they're going to check Argus and sort of undo their bad things or be ahead of them or whatever. It's just so funny to be like, here's our formal office building. I was like, make a secret hideout.
For that end, like, not to think about this too realistically, because obviously we're in a world with superheroes and whatever, but trying to think about it, if it was like, we're going to open an organization to stop the CIA is like, what exactly goes on next? What is your next move here?
And I like the move where Tim Meadows and Judo Master are just there. But I was like, well, make more of a joke of that. If like music scratch, like, oh, we want to be part of this too. Okay, music picks back up and they keep going. Like, it just felt like a little like they yada yada'd it a little too hard for me without calling it out. And honestly, I wish we had Tim Meadows for the post-credit sequence, which was not good. Another like improv-y scene that I was like, oh, you have the good players here. Why are you making this
the scene of him and Vigilante in the office? That should have been the post-credit scene, because it made no sense in the episode as it was. But Tim Meadows paying off Vigilante doing animal facts and him consistently like, yes, absolutely correct, let me ask you another question. That was funny. Like, that was a nice
it was fun
bird blindness. We could have paid that off. I think,
man,
the tools were there. And like, you know, it is weird. Like, we have the opening credit sequence, which, again, the best, unchallenged in my favorite part of this show. The moment when I was sad thinking this was the last time I would be with this credit sequence. When the moment where Harcourt and Peacemaker are like touching each other's faces is so romantic. It's better than what happened in this episode to me. But when they're dancing to the theme song again, when the band playing, I was like, what? Like, how are you doing this? We just heard this a minute ago. And now we're having you guys dance. It just felt so through the looking glass.
Here's
of like, we don't know what to do.
What was going to happen when Peacemaker got the answer and then started like dancing to the song in the motel room. I thought they were going to play the Wigwam song for the first season, the Do You Really Want to Taste It? Because that was the theme of like celebratory, like Peacemaker, I'm at the top of my powers.
That's fun.
And then it wasn't that at all. Instead we got to watch them on a boat. So again, very nice time had by all. I do want to mention on the Rick Flag of it all, there's been this theory bouncing around that Rick Flag back in Creature Commandos was replaced by Clayface, and that's why he's acting so evilly in this last episode, which is like an interesting theory, and maybe they could pay that off. But again, I think that ties into the idea of we're sort of forgetting that a season of television needs to be a unit in and of itself, and if it is revealed in the Clayface movie that Rick Flag is Clayface, that's not satisfying for Peacemaker season 2.
I hope they don't do that. Yeah. The Clayface movie is supposed to be like a real dark
Peacemaker season
pot-boiler.
3, it would be great.
Which is not happening again.
Could happen. Could happen.
But not going to happen.
Could possibly happen, maybe.
One other thing I wanted to say, like, they're doing the dimension hopping, we get is it the same black hole from the Superman movie?
Yeah,
probably.
I think so. Recycling that effect, you mean? Yes.
Well, there's the less the lazy answer, but I feel like, are they reminding us of that, because that is going to be important for a Ultraman Bizarro moment that will likely come in this next movie.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about some, that's what I was going to do, talk about some future stuff. I think for sure that they also are very clearly setting up Salvation, which apparently Peacemaker is not in Man of Tomorrow, but Salvation definitely plays in a big way. This comes from a comic book run called Salvation Run, which is, I think, a 7-issue series by Bill Willingham and Lila Sturges. The idea of that was exactly what happens here, that the Justice League kind of gets fed up and they send all of these supervillains to this planet called Salvation where they can run and play and be joyous forever. And of course, it goes immediately wrong. This is probably spoilers for the DCU because I'm pretty sure they're going to go in this direction as well. But it turns out this is actually a training ground planet for power demons, who are the shock troops for Darkseid. It's run by Desaad, who is the main torturer and right-hand man of Darkseid. And over the course of the series, a bunch of big things happen, including they break into factions. There's a camp run by Joker, one by Lex Luthor, one by Vandal Savage. Also, Martian Manhunter is there in disguise at the behest of Batman, who doesn't trust it. And the whole thing is a lead up to this big event called Final Crisis, which was written by Grant Morrison. And the idea of Final Crisis, the way this led directly in, is the idea there is Darkseid wins. He takes over the Earth, and we get to see Grant Morrison's take on the final stories of all of the superheroes, what he believes would be the end of Batman, the end of Wonder Woman, the end of Superman, etc. Yes, Pete, you have a question.
Yeah, so the screams then, was that the parademons or was that being tortured?
They could go in any direction. I think there's a lot of different things going on in the comic book beyond parademons. Like, they have weird mechanical things going on in the center of the planet. I believe, like some robot dog type things running around as well. So it's definitely not uninhabited. So in the DCU, they could go in literally any direction. It could be anything. But it certainly stands to reason, I would think, that they are probably heading towards some sort of dark side apocalypse type thing and building that up in some way.
My first thought when I saw those noises were like, ooh, scary, but I bet it's other villains that have already been put there in the Salvation Run style story. So I do think, I don't know where we'll pick up this story at some point down the line, But I do think it is going to be like, there's a potential for it to be like a Suicide Squad type situation on this planet.
It could pick up in Peacemaker season 3.
It won't, though. It is going to pick up in Man of Tomorrow. Could. He's already said this. This is going to play in. Again, I know I just said this. Peacemaker is not going to be there. Salvation will be. They're going to follow the Argus stuff as well. One interesting thing while we're talking about the future is the next TV series is Lanterns, which is going to have a bunch of Green Lanterns investigating a mystery on Earth. They said for a long time this is a big piece of kicking off the story of the DCU. I think plans changed a little bit, but it sounds like that is going to be a piece from another direction. And I tend to wonder if we're going to get like some sort of the setup of Final Crisis, or potentially we've talked about with Sacha Bordeaux, there was a whole setup of Infinite Crisis was this other event that also gets very complicated in terms of its execution. But I wonder if we're going to get like something there, like a dead new god has been, I think, one of the big theories over on Lanterns.
Yeah. Gods and Monsters. Yeah, is exactly. The title of all of this, supposedly. So feels like we need to get some gods in here pretty soon. Mm.
And the other
It's very
thing,
funny to hear you describe Final Crisis and Infinite Crisis. Because if you people don't know, they must be like, what the fuck is that guy? He's having a stroke of some sort.
Yeah, 100%. And Infinite Crisis, when I initially was, I thought at first Salvation Run ran into Infinite Crisis, I was like, what even was the story of that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's a semi-sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths, and it's this whole thing about Superboy punching a continuity role, and they want to bring, like, back their planet from Crisis. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's just crazy how back-to-back those events came as well.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. And they're so different, and they're from such different writers. The one other thing that I'll throw out there is not Peacemaker Season 3, just to get ahead of it, Pete, but we've known for a while there is a secret TV show that they're working on that is going to be something. James Gunn, apparently it's his favorite idea that they've had. They've held it back from any announcements, but they already have at least a writer and a director working on it. It may involve Rick Flagg in some way. We've talked about it here before on the podcast. So given this finale, what do you think that potentially is?
Well, I think it could be a Vigilante Economos Flurry spinoff. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
I mean, if it's TV and it's coming out of this, I feel like it could be Salvation Run. Mm-hmm. It could be that show that, like, to set Peacemaker up so hard, and Peacemaker is popular, if you're doing another show, it would make sense to pick up those characters and move there. And then it can be adjacent with Salvation going in Man of Tomorrow. It can be adjacent to that, and maybe you can get a gesture there while having something. And I can also see James Gunn being like, you know what's fun? A bunch of, like, villains, sort of like, or misfits, Guardians of the Galaxy, Suicide Squad, trying to survive and fight each other on a crazy planet. Like, that feels right up his alley.
You know, also be fun is if they did Peacemaker Season 3.
Yes.
What a twist that would be. Pete's called things before, and they have been right. Not currently, but yes.
I agree. I feel like Salvation Run makes the most sense, particularly because he's talked about it was an idea they wanted to hold back because they didn't want anybody to steal it. And it feels like supervillains on a prison planet, that feels like an ideal idea that somebody else potentially could pick up. We could also see a Checkmate show. I don't know how interesting that is necessarily. But
more bureaucracy. Cool. So much of Checkmate is like, I'm actually very mad at the White King. It's like, oh, cool.
Great. Well, we will see on the future of the DCU. In the meantime, if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to YouTube. Come hang out. We'd love to chat with you about Peacemaker. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad, do better.
No.
Whoa.
Wow.
Dad, in quotes, please. Quote
Dad
up.
Wow. Interesting. Take it from Pete. Dad, this is the only way we communicate. So see you in 1 to 2 years.
Yeah. And I thought you did great, Dad.